Om Shanti, and very good morning to all of you. Warm welcome to Prajapita Brahma Kumari Ishwariya Vidyalaya here at Shantivan for the national conference on the subject of new paradigm in the business and industry. This seminar is organized by Business Wing of Brahma Kumaris. You people are very fortunate to spare your time and come here because this is very unique and very useful practical knowledge, and this knowledge may change your thinking and give a new dimension to your life. Here we have with us BK Sister Deepaben, who is associated with this organization since her childhood. And after commerce graduation, she surrendered herself to this organization for last 22 years. And she is rendering her service from Virleparla Center in Bombay. And she is Raj Yoga teacher and faculty of business and industry wing. She is conducting many classes and seminars on self-development, Raj Yoga meditation at various educational institutes, social institutes and medical institutes as well as corporate companies. Well, please welcome Deepaben.
Om Shanti. Just like Ashok Bhai welcomed all of you. Yesterday also we had a very beautiful reception session. I'm sure you enjoyed it. But the most important part of this 3-day seminar would be learning meditation. I'm sure most of you have come with this thought that we would like to learn meditation, experience the benefits of Raj Yoga. There must have been someone or the other who has been instrument for you to come here, who has given you this invitation. But surely behind that individual, there is a Supreme who has given us this invitation to come to this beautiful place, which we can call also as the land of tapasya, because there are more than 1,000 dedicated brothers and sisters who are regularly meditating in this place. It's also the land of blessings, because we can experience a very beautiful and natural connection with the Supreme in this place and experience His power and His blessings consistently. And I'm sure this 4-day stay which you have from now on, it will surely be an enjoyable experience where you can spend many moments of your day through connecting with yourself and the Supreme. Many of you would have actually been already exposed to Raj Yoga, and some of you we have just known about it. Yesterday we had a special experience of meditation also by guided commentary. We find that this word Raj Yoga, this word itself gives us a lot of understanding of what is this meditation. When we divide these two words, Raj and Yoga, Yoga means connection. But whenever we talk about connection or relationship, it means there are two individuals between whom this is a connection, a relationship, a communication, a communion. And so who are these two individuals between which we would like to experience that connection? And so when we say Raj Yoga, it's yoga with the highest, the most elevated, the Almighty Authority. So it's a connection with the Supreme. And so this connection is most elevated, the highest, but it makes us a king. That is, I become the master of my own life. Each one of us would like to become a king. And slowly we have tried to experience that power and authority in areas which we connect with, like our work, our family. If we are the head of the family, the parents, we try to exercise our authority there. At work, we try to exercise our authority. But yet, when we look at ourselves and take an inner journey, we find that slowly we have lost the authority over our own state of mind, over our own self. So here Raj Yoga means becoming a king, becoming a master of our inner world. And so when we use this word Raja, it means experiencing this power of self-rule, self-sovereignty. But before I need to experience myself to be the master, I need to explore this inner world which I would like to master. And yet we find that though we would like so much to be a master within, we find that this inner world has remained unexplored for a long time. We've spent our entire life knowing more and more about people around us, about things around us, and maybe had a lot of understanding, a lot of skills and capabilities to manage so many things from the outside. As a householder also, as a professional also, maybe in society or connected with some organizations, NGOs, social network. And so we have learnt and we have acquired a lot of capabilities to manage and play our role effectively outside. But when we look within, if I ask myself today, in this moment just now, how much am I able to influence my own state of mind throughout the day? Am I a master of my state of mind, or is my mind mastering me? Throughout the day, when I give instructions to my mind, is it following all those instructions? Or do I have to sometimes follow the instructions of my own mind? Who is the master? I or the mind? What do we find? The mind. Whenever we give an instruction in our work, at our business, or maybe if you are a professional, you have a team which you are coordinating. Every time you give an instruction or guide someone, because of your experience, that guidance or instruction is immediately followed. And they can also see the result, the benefit. But whenever I give an instruction to my own mind, is it followed immediately? Though the benefit is recognized, but yet we find that we're not able to motivate and guide our own state of mind. And so somewhere or the other, we have lost that connection with our own self. They say if you dial your own number, what happens? It always comes engaged. Because somewhere or the other, our mind is so preoccupied with so many things around us. We don't have time for our own self. This is this little story which I always like to share, though maybe you have listened to it before also. It's about this Eiffel Tower. And there was this individual who was so much inspired and motivated by this Eiffel Tower, which is one of the 7 wonders of the world. And so he really spent his whole life to, you know, acquire some wealth so that he can take a journey there and actually see this beautiful wonder with his own eyes. And then when he could fulfill his dream, he spent a lot of time around the tower. His entire stay there in Paris was around the tower. And he found that every time he went at different times of the day, there was another individual who was seen also there, spending time. He felt that maybe this person also is so much inspired by this Eiffel Tower. So he tried to talk to him and said that, "I think you also like this tower a lot. That is why you're spending so much of time. Every time I come, I see you. And so maybe we can share some of our experiences." And that brother said, "Well, actually, I don't like this tower at all." I said, "Well, I see you here every time, seated beneath this tower." And he said, "Well, what do I do? Wherever I go in Paris, I can never miss its sight. But there's one place where I cannot see it. And which is that place?" "Seated underneath it." And so many times we find that when we look at ourselves, we are so close to ourselves that we have missed seeing ourselves. We have missed being with ourselves. We have missed knowing ourselves. We have missed understanding ourselves. And today, the first lesson of Raj Yoga is knowing ourselves, connecting with ourselves. And so we find that because we have missed knowing ourselves, this inner space has remained unexplored. We want so much to be in control of our own life that we have lost that capability to control our own state of mind, our own feelings, our own emotions. And so we need someone to guide us. And the Supreme Father Himself, through Raj Yoga, gives us the understanding of who we are. And that's why self-realization is the first step for any spiritual growth. This word self-realization seems to be something very, very difficult, because we find that many people have spent their whole life to achieve self-realization. You know, saints have spent years and years of tapasya, years and years of spiritual effort to achieve self-realization. And so whenever we hear these words, self-realization, self-actualization, we are inspired and motivated. But then the thought comes, it is so difficult, no? And to spend your entire life, you know, you have so many other things to do, so many other responsibilities. How can we really achieve it? But through this beautiful and very easy method of Raj Yoga, the Supreme gives us a very beautiful experience of the Self and gives us this very beautiful divine realization of the Self. According to the direct teachings of the Supreme Father, Shiv Baba, we understand who we are. This question, "Who I am," is so important. We need to ask ourselves, no? Though it looks a little funny, but yet it's very important to ask ourselves. Because today, whenever we have actually known about ourselves or shared any understanding about ourselves, we've always mentioned our name. You know, someone asks us who you are to introduce ourselves. So what do we say? "Well, I'm so and so." Yes, our name. What else? Yes. Other than our name, what else do we share? It's nice to have a sharing, yes. Address, okay, from where we come from. Profession, yes. Yes. Academic qualifications, yes. My qualifications, my home, yes. Hobbies, my hobbies, maybe the religion which I practice, my religion, my country, yes, my belief system, yes. And so whenever I'm introducing myself, I always introduce some aspect of my identity which we can always connect with as being mine, my name, my qualifications, my profession, my role or position there, my age, my religion, my country. So these aspects of my personality belong to me. They are my acquired identity. Yes? My name, my body, my family, my relationships, all these things belong to me. Yes? Like we use physical objects. Each one of us which always has one object which has become very important in our life. Little toy which we have. Our mobile. And so we always use this word my. It belongs to us. It is separate from us, but it belongs to us. My name, my relationships, my religion, my belief system, my profession, my body, all these aspects of my acquired identity, they belong to me, but they are separate from me. Yes? So who am I? They belong to me. I use them, surely. I'm connected to them. But who am I? Yes? Soul. We've heard this word before? Yes? Okay. Throughout the day, how many times do we think about this word soul? Generally, we use this word only when we have, you know, maybe got the news of some person who has passed away, and we say, let the soul rest in peace. Unki atma ko shanti mile. But we find that this awareness that I am a soul, throughout the day, how many moments am I able to sustain it? Maybe logically the realization surely is there that I am not this body, I am not this physical identity, but I am the spiritual being, the point of light, the spiritual energy. Maybe logically this understanding is there. Rationally when we check, we find yes, that's our existence, that's our true spiritual identity, permanent existence. But throughout the day, how many moments am I able to sustain the awareness of the spiritual identity? How many moments? Very few. Sometimes even a few. Few moments in 24 hours, yes. Sometimes there are days and days which have moved away without even a second of this awareness, no? Yes. And so we find that though maybe as part of information, this understanding surely has been because of being brought up in a culture of spirituality in India, we surely have this understanding. Through whichever religion we have moved forward in our path of spirituality, but the understanding of the soul is a very integral part of every religion. And so we know that we are a soul, but we find that this awareness and experience of being a soul is missing. And so when we call ourselves human being, human refers to the humus, that is soil, matter. To this body, which we say is made of matter, five elements of nature. And so we find that the awareness of this body is there, because we can see it, feel it, and connect to it. But when we say human being, being refers to that energy, that subtle point of light, spiritual energy. But rather than being connected to the being, we find that we have lost the awareness and we are more connected to doing something, profession, or maybe religion, maybe some activity. And so more than human being, we are today human doings. No? And so we relate to each other also on the basis of that. This is a professional, this is from this area, from this place. Yes? And so the awareness of this being is missing. And because I am not able to experience myself as a soul, I am not able to sustain that awareness naturally throughout the day. And so the true nature of the soul, the virtues of the soul also are not able to be experienced and accessed throughout the day. When we see ourselves today, we find that these are two different aspects of our identity, the body and the soul. Yes? So body is something which we are much more aware, because we can see it, we know about it. Even if we don't know some aspect today, maybe about our health or maybe some function of the body, if we don't have a lot of understanding, what do we do? Maybe we could just go on the net and find out that information. But the awareness of the soul and the understanding of the soul is missing. The soul, which we know is a point of light energy as revealed by the Supreme, which is invisible to this physical eyes. Because this body made of five elements of nature, these eyes also made of five elements of nature, have a limitation that they can see things only made of five elements of nature. And the soul is energy. Spiritual energy. So it cannot be seen, but it has to be experienced. Many times in English language we use this word, I see. You know, someone says something, I said, oh yes, I see. Have you always seen it through these eyes? No, it has been understood. And so when we talk about seeing the soul, it means understanding. Seeing the soul with the eye of knowledge, eye of inner wisdom, the divine insight. And that's why when we have, you know, connected with the Supreme in our prayers, we've always asked Him to guide us to the path of liberation, of spirituality. You see, we ask Him, show us the path. Now we know the path. Even over here, if you want to know which area you are staying, residing, the dining hall, you can see the path. And yet in our prayers, why do we ask God to show us the path? Which path? We say that please give us the eyes of wisdom. There's a beautiful bhajan which says, Nain heen ko raha dikhao Prabhu. We are blind, show us the path. But those who are singing this prayer, they have eyes. They have these physical eyes. And yet they say that we are blind. We're talking about which aspect of eyesight which is missing today. It's the eyesight which gives us the understanding by which we can see our own innate self, our own innate spiritual being. So it's a divine insight which is what we are asking from the Supreme Father. And so we find that it is with this divine insight, that is with spiritual wisdom, that we can see the soul, that is understand it. Not see it physically, but understand it. And so the soul is invisible, eternal, immortal. That is why in Gita we have mentioned the soul is ajad, amar, avinashi. And so this awareness of the soul as being eternal, invisible, immortal, imperishable. And so when I become aware that I am the soul which has this great, beautiful and wonderful instrument of this physical body, which is again gifted by the Supreme. So till now the awareness has always been that I am this name, I am this profession, I am this body, I am this relationship. But with the understanding of the soul, the awareness is experienced that I am a soul and this becomes my body. There's a difference now? Yes? There's a very big difference. Our whole perspective towards ourselves has a major change. Where I see myself as this beautiful point of light energy, which cannot be seen through the physical eyes, but it could be understood. You're seated here. If I ask you to see your home from wherever you've come, you can see it? Yes? You don't have a picture in front of you, no? Yes? It's not there in front of you. You don't even have a picture. Yet you can see your family. Yes, you can see your workplace. You can see. How do you see that? You can imagine that, yes. So we do have the faculty within, which we can call as the mind's eye or the intellect which visualizes. So throughout the day we find, when we talk about ourselves, our own feelings, thoughts, emotions, ideas, our decisions which we are making, all this is being experienced within the soul. And this subtle point of light energy, soul, is guiding this whole physical existence. When the soul leaves the body, what happens? As soon as you have received the message of someone passing away, what happens? When you go to that person's house, you see his physical body lying there. And yet you know that your friend or your relation, you know, your uncle, your auntie, your grandparents or parents are no longer there. So that means our relationship was with whom? That physical body which is still lying there, or with the soul which has moved away? Yes? Relationship is with whom? And yet throughout our life we have been connecting with whom? With the body. Yes, taking care of that. It's very important, surely. But we have been disconnected from ourselves as a soul and also disconnected from connecting with each one also as this beautiful soul, which is eternal, immortal and imperishable. And so we find that this subtle point of light energy is so powerful that as soon as it moves away from this physical existence, what happens to the body? Yes? Is it of any utility now? No. How much of a love and respect we would have for this individual. We find as soon as we listen to the news of someone dying or passing away, we immediately, the second question is, when are we going to cremate the person? Yes? So immediately we think of now, disposing of the physical body. Because the body's existence no longer remains. And so the soul being this point of light energy has so much of power. And so I need to know, how does the soul work through this physical existence? We know everything about the body, or maybe we can at least find out, but about the soul. And there are these three subtle faculties of the soul through which it actually works, or through which it actually manages its activities through the body. The soul has the mind, the intellect and the sanskars. These are the three most important faculties of the soul. And so we find throughout the day, at this moment also, you are thinking. Yes? You check, you are thinking. Yes, there are some thoughts which are being created. How many thoughts are we creating throughout the day? Yes, how many? 60,000. Okay, lot, no? It's quite a lot. And so we find that the faculty of the mind is creating these thoughts. So throughout the day, our mind is that creative faculty which is creating thoughts, feelings and emotions, ideas. Okay? So it's like the manufacturing unit of your inner organization. But there is one very important challenge which we are facing in this manufacturing unit. What is the challenge? It's becoming more and more difficult to manage this unit. Why? Because we have no quality control unit in this manufacturing unit. Yes? There is no system of quality control. Yes? And so what's happening throughout the day? There are so many thoughts which are being created, feelings, emotions. But I don't have any time. I've not inculcated or integrated any system by which I can even be aware or check what I'm thinking. I'm not even aware. Checking is a later step, but awareness of what I'm thinking. And then checking and then changing. But we find that we have not integrated that system. And so throughout the day, thoughts and feelings are being created. But if I check with myself after every thought which I'm creating, how much is this thought adding value to my state of life, my state of mind and my life? What will happen? What will I find if I check after each thought, feeling or emotion? How much is this thought adding value to my state of mind, to my life, to my relationships? What will happen? What will I find? Yes, wasteful thoughts are there. How much percentage of those thoughts will actually be those thoughts which are adding value to your state of mind, your life, your relationships, giving you energy, giving you enthusiasm, giving you more strength? And so we find if we really check the quality of our thoughts, we find that we have a major, we have these four type of thoughts. The first one being those thoughts which are giving us a lot of energy, strength, empowerment, positive thoughts. Then we have those thoughts which today are depleting a lot of our energy, reducing our inner happiness and peace. And those thoughts are negative thoughts, which are influenced by some negative tendency, some weakness, like anger or ego, fear, insecurity, revenge, hatred, any of these negative feelings. These weaknesses, when they are influencing my state of mind, I'm creating those negative thoughts. And these negative thoughts are depleting my energy. The third variety of thoughts which was just mentioned is waste thoughts. What is the difference between negative and waste thoughts? Very important difference. Yes? Waste may not be negative thoughts, yes? What else? They will not add any value. Okay. Okay, something like this, like, oh, maybe it may happen, maybe it may not. Yes? Yes? Waste thoughts are those thoughts which are created which are actually wasting our time, our energy. They don't have any negativity as such towards any situation or any individual, but they are wasting our time. So again, depletion of energy is there, but maybe the speed is less, the percentage is less. It's like sometimes, you know, we have some problem with our water supply and then we find that, you know, the water is not coming. We have opened all our taps, water is not coming. Then sometimes we just forget to close the tap. So after a few hours when the water comes, what happens? We hear the noise. Oh, rushing water and then we go and close it. But maybe we have not closed the tap very tightly. So still there are a few drops falling. Maybe they don't make a lot of noise, so the awareness is not there. But what happens if you keep a bucket underneath the tap? What will you find in the whole day? Few drops, but the whole day what happens? A lot of water is wasted. So in the same way we find there's not so much of noise which is created by waste thoughts. There is not so much of awareness. But they have become such a deep aspect, you know, deep habit within our mind, that throughout the day, very subtly, some or the other waste thought is being created. Some worry, some fear, what will happen, will it happen, will it not happen, yes? Yeah, we'll have questions after this session, surely. And so we find that those waste thoughts slowly and slowly have started depleting that energy, but they've become a habit. Now, awareness of negative thoughts is more, because it makes a lot of noise, like that rushing water. But awareness of waste thoughts is not there. Because we have found that maybe some of those waste thoughts feel very natural. You know, worrying has become natural. Oh, what are we doing? We're working. But when we are working, a lot of our work, maybe in the decision-making process, which we are sitting down to make decisions for our family or business, in that, how much time am I actually, you know, analyzing, and how much time am I actually worrying? बैठते हैं चिंतन के लिए. चिंतन से चिंता में कैसे चले जाते हैं? पता ही नहीं पड़ता है. We always sit to think, to plan, to take decisions. But a lot of time we find that we move into the area of worrying, brooding, either of the past or of the future. Yes? And so we find that that time and energy which is used, worrying about the past or the future, goes into waste thoughts. And it has become so natural. We find that, okay, well, that's natural, no? Any person, any human being would be worrying like this about their children, about their work. So many times people say, well, sister, you don't know, but you don't live in the family. Though you'll find over here in Mount Abu that we live in a bigger family than your family, no? It's just that it's God's family, but a very big family. In your home, you may be having a few guests coming daily. Here in Shantivan, how many guests would be coming every day? And so we find we have such a big family. Sometimes we feel that, oh, we have a lot of stress or worry because of being in the family. But when we actually chose the path of having a family, was it to worry? Was it to create stress? No, it was actually to create more happiness. Yes? Sometimes we say, what to do? We need to worry because, you know, children. Children are there, so we need to have some worry, no? Which is concerned with them. But then, children also we invoked in our life for giving more happiness to us, no? And sometimes we have some challenge with our child. Maybe the child is sick, so we are worrying, or the child is exams are there, so we are worrying. Yes? And so we have found, like in Mumbai or any city you would be coming, we are worrying because of the traffic. Yes? And so we have found that every activity today, normal activity also, we have started worrying about it. And so waste thoughts have become very natural. And because they have become so natural, there is no discrimination which we have from normal, ordinary thoughts, which are routine thoughts, and waste thoughts. The fourth type of thought is routine thoughts, which are connected to our routine activities. But because the awareness of waste thoughts is not there, there is no discrimination between them. Negative, positive, we know. But waste and ordinary have become merged, and we feel well. Worrying is also routine, it's normal. And so there is no attention to change those waste thoughts. And slowly what is happening throughout the day? A lot of energy is being depleted because of that. So mental fatigue is accumulated. And these waste thoughts end up sometimes into negative thoughts also. We begin to worry, but then we start experiencing some negative feelings towards a situation or maybe an individual. And so we find that throughout the day, these thoughts which we are creating, there is definitely another faculty which is deciding on those thoughts. No? Yes? Whatever thought comes in your mind, do you immediately implement it? If we would do that, what would happen? Every thought which comes in our mind, immediately we implement it. What happened? It would be a challenge, no? So there is another faculty which actually filters those thoughts. It weighs the pros and cons. It analyzes. It checks. Okay, what's going to be the result if I implement this idea? It moves into the past, checks with the learnings of the past experiences. It tries to see the future impact of that idea, of that decision, and then comes back into the present and makes a decision. And that's the intellect, the faculty of the intellect. So throughout the day we find this intellect is actually guiding us in the process of decision making. It reasons out, it analyzes, it tries to understand the situation, weigh the pros and cons, and then take a decision. Yes? Yes. Yes. And so we find that this intellect, it's most important that it intervenes throughout the day. Before the action is performed or after the action is performed? What's the most effectiveness of the intellect, the faculty of the intellect? It should be giving a decision before or after the action? Naturally before, because then it has to guide the action, no? The basic aim of the intellect is to guide the action. But today what's happening? The intellect is taking decisions or giving us the right guidance before the action or after the action? Yes? Most of the times after. After we have reacted in a situation, the realization comes. So we should have not said that or done that. Yes? So we need to empower the intellect so that it constantly throughout the day is able to intervene before the action. And so we find that in Hindi we say very beautifully, Soch samajh kar karm karo. We have to create the thought. Surely naturally a thought is created by the mind. But the understanding or the intervention of the intellect is important before we perform the action. And the intellect needs to be guided by spiritual wisdom. Because then it will connect with the learnings of the past situation. It will visualize the future impact of that decision and then come in the present and take a decision. Which is called as a Trikal Darshi intellect. An intellect which connects with all three aspects of time. Important? Important for the intellect? If the intellect only connects with the present, what happens? Just sees the present and jumps into a decision? Impulsively, what happens? Maybe the decision seems right in the present, but maybe the future impact would not be in the direction which I want. Or maybe I would again make a mistake which I have done in the past because I have not checked. I have not had those learnings with me in the present. And so the intellect needs to sustain the awareness of being Trikal Darshi. I'm using this word again because it's a very beautiful word, connecting with all these three aspects of time. When the intellect is influenced by some negative tendency, by some weakness, when anger overcomes the intellect, what happens to all the process of analysis, the process of reasoning? Does it work? when anger overcomes the our intellect? Yes? Am I able to analyze what is right or wrong? Am I able to choose my response? No. So the intellect has to remain uninfluenced by negative tendencies, weaknesses, and to be influenced by our virtues. Let us try to understand what are those true virtues or true innate values of the innate self, of the soul. Whatever decision my intellect takes, immediately then I translate that decision into action. So my intellect can take a decision of doing something or not doing something. Yes? And I implement that. As soon as that decision is implemented, it becomes an action. And every action will have an impact. Yes? An impression. Yes? Every action throughout the day will have an impact or an impression. A collected experience of that impact or that impression creates these behavioral patterns in our innate self, which we call as sanskars. These habits, these personality traits are created, which is called as this beautiful word sanskars in Sanskrit. So we say a translation would be maybe personality traits, maybe habits, but it doesn't have that impact. Sanskars has a very powerful impact. And so we find that these sanskars which have been accumulated, days and days, years and years, births and births, they're very strong. We call them as our nature. Many times we say, well, this reaction was there because this is my nature. No? Today we have nature cure clinics. No? We have these treatments available by naturopathy, by Ayurveda. And they are very beneficial for our health because they help us to cleanse our body, cleanse ourselves from these toxins. Yes? But what about this nature clinic? The innate nature clinic? We have a nature clinic like this which helps us to cleanse these innate toxins which we have accumulated or change our nature personality traits. Yes? And so we find that the Supreme Father is giving us that spiritual wisdom and that power to transform our sanskars. Reconnect to our original sanskars, to our original nature. This is a very beautiful story which I remember about Michelangelo, and he had this beautiful sculpture in one of his exhibitions. And there was this admirer of his work who was again and again, you know, admiring and saying, sharing a lot of praise for him. And so after some time he responded very beautifully to this admirer of his and said that, well, actually, you see, I do nothing. His admirer said, well, you create so much of beauty. He said, well, I do nothing. The beauty is in the stone. What I do is I just remove the waste. And the Supreme Father gives us this understanding that the true sanskars of the soul are very pure and beautiful. And through Raj Yoga meditation, he helps us to remove the waste, the negative. The true innate nature of the soul is, what are the virtues and the qualities of the soul, the innate nature of the soul? Yes? Peaceful, yes. The soul is peaceful, pure, loveful. Peace, love, purity, what else? Bliss. Yes. What else? Happiness, yes. Power, inner power, yes. Love, yes. Knowledge. The experience of these virtues, even when I am mentioning this word, peace, you know. There's such a beautiful experience which we have from within. And so this is my true nature, this is what I am. So I am a peaceful soul. I am a pure soul. I am a loveful soul. I am a knowledgeable soul, a powerful soul, a blissful soul. This is my true nature. And so when I experience this true nature, what happens to the influence of my negative sanskars? Because today I find that they are also very powerful, no? When I see myself, I find that this anger which is there within me, many times throughout the day it overcomes, it overtakes this nature of being peaceful. And what happens then? When it overtakes, when it overcomes our intellect, what happens? There is an agitated response, there is a reaction. And so we find that these weaknesses which are there also slowly and slowly have had a very firm hold on my innate self. And so we have started believing, though we understand that I am a peaceful soul, we have started believing that anger is my natural nature. And so we have started saying, well, to be maybe good is good, but then it's so difficult. To err is human, to forgive is divine. So we have started accepting all these weaknesses as being human, being natural. You see, after all we are a human being, no? We'll get angry, no? After all we are a human being, we'll get upset. After all we are a human being, we'll feel weak, no? And so we have started accepting these weaknesses as our natural nature, as our original sanskars. Now because we have accepted these weaknesses as our original sanskars, what has happened? What has happened? We have been disconnected from our true nature of peace, love, happiness, and we have now begun a journey of trying to acquire these virtues, because we feel that we are an angry person, or we are maybe a person who has a lot of agitation or fear or any other negativity. We have a list of those weaknesses which are there within us, and so we are in a journey where maybe few moments of peace, few moments of happiness, few moments of joy we would like to achieve. And so all these virtues and qualities which are our true nature, we have started a journey of acquiring them from outside. Outside-in approach. Now if I am trying to acquire peace, what happens? I will acquire peace how? By maybe going in a place like this place in Mount Abu where you can enjoy peace, or maybe any spiritual place. Yes, or any place of worship. Yes, and then you experience peace, or in nature. Where you want to acquire love, so you connect with people who have lot of love for you, good wishes for you, and you experience their love. You want to acquire power, what do? You try to achieve some position, yes, because then you can influence people, no? Some position, some, you know, maybe some role, or maybe financial status, so that then you can control people, you have power. And so we have begun a journey of trying to acquire these virtues and qualities. But what has happened? What is the difference when I see them as my nature, original nature, and when I'm trying to acquire them from outside? What happens? What is the major difference between these two? Yes, when I'm trying to acquire them from outside, I do acquire them, but it is for some time, temporary. When I go into an environment of a place of worship, or maybe a peaceful place like this, or maybe nature, I do acquire peace. But for how much time? For some time, till I am there. But when I come back into my routine life, after moving away from that place of worship, what happens? Then throughout the day, am I able to sustain or enjoy that peace and relaxed state of mind? No. I'm able to maybe experience love in my family, or maybe somewhere in my friends, by connecting to these loved ones. But then throughout the day when I'm interacting to different people at my work, in society, am I able to have good wishes for each one, especially those people who give me unhappiness? Am I able to have love and good wishes for them? No. And so outside-in approach is temporary. There's an experience, but it's temporary. Are we happy with that temporary experience? Yes. Peace can be achieved. Okay, 24 hours, someone has a bargain with us that you will enjoy 1 hour of peace. Is it okay? Are we happy with this bargain? We want peace. How much time? 24/7, no? Constantly, consistently. And the only way where we can experience these virtues constantly, consistently, naturally is by connecting to them as our true nature. Spirituality guides us to this understanding that God has made man in his own image. This is what the Bible says, yes? So we find we have those same virtues and qualities as the Supreme. Even in this journey of life, many of our attributes, our qualities are connected to our parents. They say, oh, this person has this quality like his mother, or this skill or capability like his father. No? We connect some attribute to the parents. And as a soul, our supreme parent is the Supreme Father. And his virtues are our true nature. So if he is the ocean of peace, what is my true nature? I am a peaceful soul. The child of the ocean of peace is a peaceful soul. He is the ocean of love. Pyar ka sagar hai, we say. So what's my true nature? As a child of the ocean of love, I am also a loveful soul. As a child of the ocean of power, I am also a powerful soul with a lot of self-esteem, innate strength, virtues and capabilities. And so we find that these virtues are my true nature. Through Rajyoga meditation, we experience these virtues as our true nature. And the more and more we enjoy this awareness of these virtues and qualities as my true nature, we find that we can experience it consistently throughout the day. And they become more and more available to us throughout the day to fulfill our responsibilities, to influence our responses throughout the day to situations and people. So today what has happened, because we are more focused on human doings, I feel I am this manager, this professional, or maybe at home I am the mother or the father. But with the awareness of my virtues and qualities, my true nature, these original sanskars, the awareness becomes that I am a peaceful soul playing the role of a mother or father. I am a loveful soul playing the role of a manager or this professional. And so this awareness, how does it make a difference to my role which I am playing as a parent or as a professional? What will be the difference? When I am aware of these virtues and I am playing that role, what is the difference? What is the impact it will have? Yes? The awareness that I am a father. So what happens with that? There is a lot of concern, there is a lot of sense of responsibility, but if my child is not obeying some instructions, what happens? As a father or as a mother, then what happens? There's a little bit of irritation, yes? Ego is there, a parental ego, authority, and then I want to maybe impose some discipline on my child, or maybe shout or maybe react with the child. But the awareness that I am a peaceful soul, a loveful soul, playing just the role of a father or a mother. And this child is also a soul. In this journey of life, the relationship is a child and I am the father. But I am a peaceful soul. It's also a peaceful soul or the child of the Supreme. So what happens, this awareness, how does it influence that role which I have to play as a father or a mother? What happens to that role? Yes? I'm able to play that role with more care, concern, compassion, free from anger, free from worry, detached and yet loving. My role as a manager, a leader, a professional, these virtues and qualities, they start influencing that role. I'm able to use those. And so we find that the soul has these three virtues, or maybe we can call it as three faculties. The mind, intellect and sanskars. The mind creates thoughts, the intellect decides, whatever decision I have taken is translated into action. Every action has an impact on the soul as the form of sanskars. These sanskars are being accumulated, and those sanskars, when they become very strong, they influence our state of mind naturally. As per my sanskars, automatically when I see this situation, there is an accident on the road. And so we find that maybe there is this car which has banged into the other vehicle. And it's a maybe major accident. People have been hurt. And so if maybe people who are passing by another cars, if there's a doctor in that one of those cars, what will he immediately see the situation as? As a doctor, he will immediately see people in pain and he'll try to take care, you know, try to see that they are maybe put into a car and taken to a hospital or something like that. If there's immediately in the scene a policeman comes, what does he see the situation as? As a policeman, with the legal aspects, who's at fault, who's at not fault, the relative of the person who's injured, so much of pain and sorrow which the person is going through, everyone's sanskars, according to their role, they respond. It will be different. And so we find that, you know, throughout the day, these sanskars are influencing our state of mind. Now when I say I, the soul is the master of this body. Where does it reside in the body? As a master, as a king, it has to manage. It has to work through this physical body. So where should it reside? Maybe the body is like a car and the soul becomes a driver. So where does the driver sit in the car? Front seat. Why? Why front seat? Maybe left or right, but why front? Yes, it can see. What else? The driver can see the path. What else? The driver has all the means of control in front. The engine, the accelerator, the steering wheel. And so the soul needs to reside in that area in the physical body where it has all its means of control. Now what are the means, most important means of control? The physical organs of the body, eyes to see, ears to hear, mouth to speak. All these major physical sense organs are in the face. And so the soul resides somewhere there. Now when we say the soul is energy, energy is very light. And so this energy will reside in the body in the highest position, and that is forehead. And that's why we have so many reflex actions, no, which are connected to this awareness of the soul. Whenever we make a mistake, where does the hand move? To our forehead. Oh, we made this mistake. Why? Not to our hand, we have made this mistake, or not to our foot, we have made this mistake. Why to our forehead? Because there is this soul seated there who has made that decision. On the base of which we now feel it's a mistake. Yes? So the soul has been thinking or deciding, which is seated between the forehead. Even when we want to think, our hands move into our forehead. Yeah, oh, we are thinking. And so the soul is seated between the forehead, where we also apply the tilak when we go to the temple. The awareness that I am a soul connecting to the Supreme. And the child of the Supreme Father going there in the temple to connect, to talk, to share, to take power from my spiritual father and mother. So the awareness of the soul. But what has happened is the the luck is being applied today also, but the awareness of the soul has been lost. And so the soul is seated between the forehead, the master of this body. So when I say I am a soul, I become aware of myself as this point of light. Today when I see myself, I see this body. But now with the mind's eye, the intellect, I see this point of light energy seated between the forehead. Can I see it with these physical eyes? Many times people in Raja Yoga meditation also, they feel that, oh, they should see some light. You know, some light when they see, then there is an experience of the soul or the supreme. Can I physically see this point of light energy? Why? Why can't I see it physically? Yes? It is very subtle. And it is not physical energy, no? It's not made of matter. This body has these physical eyes which can only be seeing things of matter. I'm speaking to you. There are some sound waves which are being created. Yes, you're hearing. The sound waves are reaching you. Your ears have those sensors which you are catching. Can you see these sound waves? You can only experience them. It's energy. Soul also is seated between the forehead. It can be experienced because it is energy. And so it can be seen or visualized through the mind's eye, that is through the intellect. Like you're seated here and I ask you to see your children. You can see them? Maybe some of you have them with you. Some have brought their older children with you. But if they are not here, you see your parents or your children or any loved ones. You see it through your mind's eye, that is through the intellect. And so when I say I am a soul, I visualize it through my intellect. This beautiful radiant point of light energy seated between the forehead. Like a beautiful star sparkling between the forehead. That is why in Gita it is said, Brukuti ke beech chamakta hai ajab sitara. It's a beautiful star sparkling between the forehead. It's a beautiful diamond. And so we find that when I am aware of myself as this soul, I enjoy its true nature. So when we talk about Raja Yoga meditation, connection with the Supreme, we find that connection with any individual, the most important thing is that we should match the wavelength of this individual. When you talk to a child, you need to match his wavelength or her wavelength. No? Then your communication becomes complete, the language, the wavelength. In the same way, when I connect to the Supreme, I need to connect with His frequency, His wavelength. Now the Supreme Father is the Father of the soul. He's a spiritual father and mother. We all have physical fathers. All our physical fathers are different, except if there are two siblings sitting here together. We will have a common physical father. But we all have otherwise our own physical fathers. Yes, they are separate. Yes. But our spiritual father is one. And so this spiritual father, because he is a father of the soul, he is always in the awareness of himself as being the spiritual father. So to connect with him, our frequency has to match, our wavelength has to match. So if I am aware of myself as a body and I try to connect with the spiritual father, will the wavelength match? Yes, will the wavelength match? No, I am in the physical awareness and he is the spiritual being. So will the wavelength match? No. So will there be flow of energy? Communication? No. So in Raja Yoga meditation, the first step is self-realization, that is awareness of myself as a soul. Enjoying the experience of myself being a soul. And throughout the day, as many moments am I in the awareness of myself as a soul, my frequency with the Supreme will match. My wavelength with the Supreme will match. So what will happen throughout the day when the frequency is matching? What will happen? I will experience His energy, His communication. So meditation is a two-way communication. It's an experience of energy and power from the Supreme. So that when I move away from that experience of meditation and go back into my daily activities also, I can use those virtues and qualities. Now what has happened, because this wavelength of frequency has not matched with the Supreme, till now in whichever form of prayer we have, there has been lot of love, lot of dedication, lot of surrender towards God. But because there has been, this link has missed, we have not been able to connect with Him as a soul. Frequency has not matched. So we have not accumulated power from the Supreme Father. We have not experienced that energy of virtues and qualities being filled in the soul. And so when we move away from those areas of worship, when we come back into our routine day-to-day life, we have some moments of prayer, some moments of, you know, worship in whichever religion we are. But when we come back into our daily routine life and there are challenging situations, there are individuals who are not behaving very pleasantly, what happens to our state of mind? We get affected. At that time we are not able to connect with that power of peace, be tolerant. We are not able to use those virtues of love which we have experienced in prayer and have good wishes for them. Because we experience those virtues and qualities in those moments of prayer. But because of lack of connection with the Supreme, we couldn't accumulate His power. We couldn't fill power in the soul. We couldn't recharge those spiritual virtues and qualities within ourselves. And so when we come back into our daily routine life, those virtues and powers are not accessible to us. And so we are not able to change our response to situations. And so we find that daily routine activities, we are still reacting, still worrying, still stressed. And so throughout the day, lot of mental fatigue. And end of the day, again, we go back to square one, the same stress. Or even in the middle of the day, even in the beginning of the day. It's like, you know, there's a bucket which I'm filling water. And yet after a few days I'm realizing that every day I'm filling water in the bucket, but still the bucket still remains empty. Why? Why? Because maybe underneath I've missed, there's a little hole there. And so what has happened? I'm filling water from here, but what's happening? It's getting leaked. And so it's not full. So every morning I'm spending time. Throughout the day also, sometimes we have so much of dedication by some individuals who spend 2 hours of bhakti also every day. And it's so beautiful to see them. There's so much of dedication in their life. They do enjoy that experience, feel very good. But then we find that throughout the day again there is leakage. Leakage through thoughts, words, actions, attitudes, you know, those negativity or those subtle weak thoughts, words, actions and attitudes. And so that leakage, what happens in the end result? The quality of life throughout the day, the quality of experience throughout the day, it's not so powerful, it's not so enjoyable, it's not so peaceful, it's not so relaxed. And so what happens is through Rajyoga meditation, the awareness of the soul is sustained naturally throughout the day. The attention is kept that I remain in the awareness throughout the day that I am a soul and enjoy these virtues and qualities as my true nature. And so every time I connect with the Supreme, I am recharging those virtues and qualities. And so what happens again when there are situations in front of me, challenges in front of me, maybe relationships which are little, there's a little conflict or little difference of opinion, what am I able to do? Because I've recharged those virtues and powers, what am I able to do? Use the power to respond to those situations and respond to those relationships in a positive way, in a peaceful way, in a proactive way. Yes? And so experience of power is important. Accumulation of spiritual energy is important. And for that, throughout the day, awareness of the soul. Then frequency is constantly matching. A very beautiful connectivity with the Supreme. Like today, when you think of your children, you are naturally connected to them, no? Throughout the day. There is this beautiful connection which, as parents, you have towards your children. Towards your own parents also, yes? Do you have to spend a lot of time to remember your parents? Yes? If anyone asks you to remember your mother or father, is it easy? In a second, there's no question. Yes? In a second, your mind connects with their image. Yes? And there's a lot of love which you can experience in just remembering, even though they may not be there in a physical form in your life today. Why is it so difficult for us to remember the Supreme Father? The spiritual mother and father, the eternal father? Many times in our prayer we always mention, oh God, we have so much of love for you, but it's so difficult to remember you. No? Difficult to concentrate. Imagine if your child comes up to you and says, Mummy or Daddy, I have a lot of love for you, but I can't remember you. Very difficult to focus my mind to remember you. Would you like it? Would you really feel they have love for you? There's a question of what is that love, no? When there's no remembrance, easy remembrance. So we find that one challenge which we have because of lack of this awareness of the soul, we are not able to naturally remain connected to the Supreme. And so enjoy that natural remembrance of being having that loving link with the Supreme Father. Like here we have connection with the source of energy, with the generator. So we put on any switch for the fans, for the light, for the mic, it's on. But if the connection is not there, what happens? If it loosens, what happens? Everything will just stop. No? In the same way, if our natural connection is there with the Supreme Father through the awareness of the soul, we find that we enjoy His virtues, His power, His wisdom constantly guiding us. And it's such a beautiful experience throughout the day. So Raj Yoga, which we are learning here, is not just an activity. It's not those few moments which we sit down and spend for meditation. But it's a way of life. Throughout the day, the awareness of the soul, we are naturally connected to the Supreme Father. So today we had the understanding that we have two aspects of our physical identity. One is the physical, the other is the spiritual. The physical aspect of our identity is very important, but it has been acquired. The spiritual being is what I am, my innate self. When I'm aware of myself as an innate self, my true nature is peace, love, happiness. Now, because we have forgotten ourselves as a soul and our true nature, and we have become only aware of ourselves as a body, what has happened? We have become more aware of our profession. I am so and so, doctor, engineer. Yes, do we forget that? When we get up in the morning, what happens? We immediately remember with our profession, our role there, our family, whose father we are, whose husband or wife or whatever relationships are there. This profile is naturally remembered by us. Yes? Do we have to write down all these details in a little book and read it every morning when we get up? No? We can remember? All these details, yes, every day. So we find that we have become so naturally connected to this profile. In this one journey of life also, whatever is our role, our responsibilities, our relations, very naturally connected. But what has happened to the awareness of the soul, our eternal awareness? Forgotten. Today we are being reminded that we are a soul, our true nature. Then we have to note down, oh, this is my value of peace, then happiness, then it's love, then it's bliss, yes? But slowly and slowly this has to become natural. When a child is born, we find that somewhere the child is still connected to its awareness of being a soul, you know? So there is some virtues of peace, happiness, lightness in the soul. But slowly and slowly as it moves into the journey of life, what happens? We get it connected to the physical world, you know, the child, we get it connected to its body, its relationships, its name, its, you know, whatever its responsibilities, its religion and all that. It comes into body conscious. Now, we are coming back into soul conscious. Now, how much time and effort we invested in the child, for the child to remember its name? Was it easy immediately? Just in 1 or 2 days, the child could remember the name, connect to the name? No. Now, we have to spend a little time with our own self to get reconnected to our original profile, our original self. around the soul. So remind ourselves again and again and experience that happiness. And then slowly, slowly you'll find that as you start enjoying this awareness, enjoying those virtues and qualities, this awareness will become more and more easy. It will remain with you for a longer time and then it will become natural. Then you will not have to spend any effort to think about it, to remind yourself. It will become natural. Soul naturally connected to itself as a soul and virtues. Atma sato guni hai. So these seven core virtues of the soul. And as I use these virtues in my actions, in my response to situations, in my relationships, I develop qualities. So there are these core virtues and then I develop many other capabilities. When I am peaceful, when I use this in my work, then what happens? There is a lot of accuracy, there is a lot of focus. When I use it in relationships, I am calm, I am serene, I am tranquil, I am relaxed, you know. So these capabilities or these qualities will be developed. Each virtue of the soul, each innate value of the soul develops a lot of virtues for us. So we find that today we have now got introduced to our true self. Yes, the Supreme Father gives us this awareness of the true self. That is why we have the story of Vivekananda. When he first time came, you know, in his journey to interact with his guru, Paramhansji, respected Ramakrishna Paramhans, who was seated in this hut, and Vivekananda knocked the door outside. And so Paramhansji responded, "Who is it?" And what did Vivekananda say? He said, "Well, that's what I've come to find out. Who am I?" And so we find that this question which has remained with us, it is the Supreme Father who gives us the understanding of who we are. The Father giving us this knowledge, spiritual wisdom, that we are a soul, having these virtues seated between the forehead, and this is our true nature. I am a peaceful, pure, loving soul. So in meditation, the first step is being aware of myself as this soul. Now what is the permanent residence of the soul? We are here but we have a return ticket. Return ticket to your place also, but return ticket in this journey of life also. Yes, both return tickets are there. Return ticket back to your place is confirmed, no? You have a confirmed ticket, no? If you don't have, you can take some guidance at our transport department also. But that return journey, see, confirmed. But maybe the date we don't have, but that is also confirmed some way or the other. We have to be always ready. So the soul knows that its residence between the forehead in this body is also actually temporary. Temporary? Maybe I will use this costume for how many more years? Yes? Soul can use a costume for a few months also, or maybe for 100 years also, no? Yes? But yet the soul needs to leave this physical costume sometime or the other. Yes? So birth is the soul entering this body and death is the soul leaving the body. So now, as much as happiness there is for birth of a child in the family, when there is a death, what do we understand it as? The eternal soul leaving this temporary physical costume. So I need to be free from fear for my own death also, and also the death of my loved ones. Yes, important? Very important. Having no fear of death for my own self also. This body is a very precious and valuable gift from the Supreme. So I need to take care of it. But having no fear of death. Because sometime, whenever is the time, as we said, it's confirmed, the ticket, but whenever is that day, we will leave this body. But most important is that in that journey of life, I need to accumulate a lot of virtues and treasures. Which treasures will I be able to take in this journey? good karma, good sanskars. Okay, what is the permanent residence then of the soul? Yes? Temporary, okay, between the forehead, we have seen in this body. Permanent? From where I have come from and where will I need to go back? Yes? Paramdham. Okay, what is Paramdham? No? Dham, abode, Param, one abode which is above. Just like in this journey of life, we are with our family, with our parents and then with our family, yes? So, our permanent residence also is with the family. As a soul, it is with our spiritual father and mother. And so, his residence is the world beyond, the land of peace. Paramdham, the land of peace, Shanti Dham. And we find that in all religions, we have remembered ourselves as a soul, this understanding of the soul is common, and also the abode of the Supreme is common. This understanding is common. And so we see all our different religions talk about the Supreme as being above, beyond. And that world of silence, that land of peace, Shanti Dham, is a true permanent abode of the soul, the sweet silence home. And so in Rajyoga meditation, we'll take a journey to that sweet silence home to connect with the Supreme. That way also when you want to have a meeting with someone, especially a personal meeting where you want to, you know, have a very important exchange, you would like to have a place of silence where you're not disturbed. No? Now in this world we find that there's always going to be some or the other chaos, some or the other challenges, some or the other noise. But there is this beautiful land of peace, which is our sweet silence home, where there's complete silence. And so it's the most beautiful meeting room with the Supreme Father. And so in Rajyoga meditation, we travel to that world of silence. Like you're seated here, I ask you to go back home. You can go through your mind. How much time does it take? Second. Just a second. You will return back on first. Most of you are leaving on first. And then whenever you remember Madhuban, you will remember Shantivan. How much time you will come to this remembrance to Shantivan? How much time it will take you? Just a second. You will be able to remember the whole environment and all the friends and sisters and whatever inputs you are getting. So just a second. So in Rajyoga meditation also we will connect with the Supreme in a second. In that land of peace. Okay, so let us maybe take a little journey of experience now. The understanding has been there today that I am a soul seated between the forehead, having the three faculties of the mind, intellect, sanskars, the mind creating thoughts, the intellect analyzing and deciding, the decisions which have been made by us in our life, we have created karma on the basis of those decisions. And so there is this accumulation of karma, the impact or the impressions of this karma as sanskars. And so these three aspects or these three faculties of the innate soul. And the innate self, the soul seated between the forehead is a master. It's like the subtle driver of this body, which is a car. So when the driver is seated in the driving seat, what is his awareness? That I am separate from the car and I'm seated in the driving seat. You know, each one of you, most of you are must be driving. So when you're seated in your driving seat in the car, what do you feel? You know that you're separate from the car and you are the controller. Yes? If you forget that you're a controller and you're the master of the car, you decide, then what will happen? If you forget that, there will not be any control. No? The soul today has forgotten that it's seated in this driving seat. It is separate from the body and it is the master. Imagine if the driver is sleeping, what will happen? Can you imagine being in that car where the driver is sleeping? We don't want to imagine also, no? Well, today the driver is sleeping. I'm not aware that I am the soul, the master of this body, that I'm separate from this body and I'm the controller. Yes? And so most of our thoughts, words and actions throughout the day are not being guided by spiritual wisdom. Now we have to awaken the driver. Today is the first step of awakening this master. So when I sit down in meditation, the first step would be the awareness that I am this point of light energy. You have to visualize that. Most important in meditation is creating thoughts through the mind and visualizing through the intellect. Like when we recharge our mobile, yesterday one of our speakers said that whether it's a mobile, or maybe an ordinary mobile or maybe a very good mobile with a lot of applications, both mobiles will need charging. No? When you recharge your mobile or any other electronic instrument, you find that you connect it to the electric source. You have a charger, you connect it to the electrical source. When you plug it in, there are two pins which enter. And so we find that in the same way, when I connect with the Supreme, I use these two faculties, the mind and the intellect. The mind will create thoughts and the intellect will visualize them. When I told you to think about your children, what did you do? Or your parents, what did you do? You visualize them. So first your mind created the thought, my child or my father or mother. There was a feeling of love, yes, towards children or your parents. There was a feeling of love and your intellect was creating an image. How much time did it take? Second, the synchronization of the mind and the intellect, very natural. You created the thought and feeling and see. You're seeing it also. The visualization is also there. The image is also seen. And so in the same way in Rajyoga meditation, when I become aware that I'm a soul, I'm a peaceful soul. So I create this thought that I'm a peaceful soul. Feeling of peace is that calmness, that relaxed feeling. That is what I create. And what do I visualize? What is the image? Through the intellect, what will I visualize? What is the image of the soul? Yes? Now we have understood it. We've seen it through spiritual understanding. So how does the soul look? What is its image? A point of light, a small, beautiful star sparkling between the forehead, like a diamond, the living diamond. Okay? So when I say I'm a peaceful soul, what do I need to do? I need to create this thought but also enjoy the feeling of peace, and my intellect has to visualize it. Yes? Then there will be concentration in meditation. Today what is happening? Whenever we sit down for any prayer and meditation, what do? We are creating thought and maybe feeling also, but we are not visualizing it. So what will happen? My intellect, if it's not visualizing the soul, what will it visualize? Some activity which I have already done or maybe which I have to do. Yes, from its memory it will seek any other image. Now I'm thinking I'm a peaceful soul, but now my intellect is visualizing the activity at work which I have to do. So will there be focus? Will there be concentration? No. Both have to work simultaneously. Okay? So here when we are guided with Rajyoga meditation, we allow both to work together. So we now have an experience of guiding our mind and intellect together in this experience of myself as a soul. So you can be seated comfortably as you are. In Rajyoga meditation, we don't need to have a fixed posture, but we just allow ourselves to be a little alert. And the spine has to be a little erect. So sitting straight is beneficial, a good posture. You can allow your hands to be in your lap. Your feet are grounded. The body can be relaxed. You'll be given some thoughts which will guide your mind. As soon as we talk about meditation, you'll find that yesterday and today also, this light, red light is put on. So we can meditate even in white light, but this light will just remind us of something. There are two things. One is, whenever we, in traffic also, we have the red light means, it means stop. So we need to stop our thoughts from all different areas of our life. And just be with our self. An appointment with yourself. Just to be with yourself. To enjoy being with your own self. To enjoy your company. So stopping from everywhere outside to be with yourself. And also red light is the home of the soul. The land of peace. Where I, the soul, as beautiful points of light. Golden red light. It's a large expanse of soft golden red light. The land of peace. And so this red light reminds us of our own soul world. I allow myself to withdraw my mind from the outside and be with myself. There's been a lot of inputs which I have received. But let me just take this one thought. I am a soul, a peaceful soul. I enjoy the feeling of calmness and visualize myself as this beautiful spark of light seated between the forehead, like a beautiful, flawless diamond, radiating peace, calmness all around me. I enjoy this feeling of being so relaxed, so calm, so light. I'm a peaceful soul. I enjoy this experience of calmness because peace is my true nature. It's my natural state of mind. I feel so relaxed and light as I enjoy my inner peace. I feel connected to my virtues of love . I'm a loveful soul. I remember my family, my loved ones, people with whom I work every day, my friends. And let me visualize the entire world, the globe. I'm a loveful soul. I send these vibrations of love and good wishes to all of them. As I see the entire globe, different countries, colors, religions, and yet each one of them is a being of light, my brother soul. The world, my family. I send those vibrations of love, of good wishes to each one of them. I'm a pure soul, the virtue of truth and purity. I experience the inner clarity and purity, free from all waste and negativity. I'm so pure and clean from within. That's my true nature. I'm a powerful soul. Supreme Father has gifted me with so many of virtues and qualities and inner power, willpower. My innate strength gives me that deep sense of self-esteem and confidence. I'm a powerful soul. am a happy soul. I enjoy every moment of my life. As I use the spiritual wisdom, I experience the lightness and happiness of everything around me. I enjoy these virtues as my nature because I'm the child of the Supreme Father, the ocean of peace, the ocean of love, the ocean of happiness. And as I experience my closeness with the Supreme, I feel so secure, connected to my virtues, my true nature of peace, of love, of happiness, of power, of bliss. I no longer need to search for these virtues from the outside. They are gifts from the Supreme to me. Let me take this moment to enjoy these beautiful virtues. Which are a part of the inheritance from the Supreme Father. My eternal treasures. I feel light, peaceful, and powerful from within. I feel myself relaxed. I can still see myself as this point of light, separate from this body, and yet the master of this body. I've always remembered myself as a physical being having a soul, but now I've realized that I am the soul, the point of light, and I'm using this body, my physical instrument. I, the soul, is eternal, immortal, imperishable. I am the master. Master of my own thoughts. Master of my life. Master of my destiny. This environment of Shantivan, these moments of meditation will become very easy. So it's very important that you spend some time or the other, especially in the meditation rooms which we have. One meditation room is just next to this meeting hall where your sessions will be going on. There is a lotus shaped meditation room a little far away. So throughout the day, whenever you have time, whenever you have those little slots of time, you can spend a few moments of meditation over there, because you'll then be able to sustain this practice when you go back also. In the beginning, when you start meditation, you'll find that it's not going to be very easy. Your mind will be distracted here and there. It's like, even after you've learned the method from here, it's not going to be immediately very natural and easy. Just like when you go through driving lessons, 10 or 12 days of driving lessons, and then you immediately start driving. Do you feel very comfortable and completely confident to drive on the highway? Yes? Do you feel confident? No. You have to remember, oh, this was taught by our instructor, this gear, that gear, what we should do, how we should take a break, you know. Coordination of all those things becomes a little tough. And maybe sometimes if you have someone else trying to tell you something, don't do this, don't do that, you get more hassled. So in the beginning, even after doing, having those driving lessons, what you need is practice. And it's only after maybe 6 to 8 months of maybe constant practice that you will feel comfortable, confident completely, even to drive on the highway. In the same way, it's Rajyoga meditation. You know, you will be learning, but what's most important is practice. And the more you enjoy this practice, even few moments, you'll find you'll be more and more comfortable. Till then, what will happen? Your mind will get a little distracted. It's like the child who has started walking. What will happen? Immediately, the child will start running? No. We know for some time what will happen, the child will fall again. What will we do? We'll hold the child's hand and then guide it. But after some time, what's going to happen? The child will be running in the same way. So, it's very important that here in Madhuban, you will have this beautiful opportunities of spending those moments here and there. Om Shanti.